We are talking with Barry Nash, who is the Weed Science Technical Manager for GrowMark, and so therefore we are going to talk about weeds, and particularly weed resistance, which is becoming a bigger and bigger problem. And first of all, Barry, what are some of the things that you're telling growers right now after this warm winter that we've had to try and for pre-plant, what they can do to try and control weeds for this coming season?
Well, you know, Cindy, it's been a really weird winter. We just really don't know what to expect. Normally, we have hard freezes and we have long hard freezes over the winter, and that can trigger germination frequencies and timings in the spring. And this year, we just really didn't get a hard freeze throughout a lot of the southern parts of our the Midwest. And as a result, we fully expect to start seeing weed germinations of the summer annuals starting up anytime near the end of March. And that would be the key weeds like water hemp. Palmer amaranth is on the increase. It's moving up from the south at a rapid pace. And these weeds, as you know, have high seed production capacity. So it's very critical that we get on these weeds and start a weed control program early by using pre-plant herbicides as well as a post-emergence program later on in the summer.
Well, you mentioned those two in particular. What are the biggest areas of resistance that we're seeing here in the Midwest?
So some of the key weeds we're dealing with, and we're probably talking Missouri, Iowa, Wisconsin, Illinois, and Indiana as well. We're looking at the number one weed, obviously, is water hemp, which is a pigweed species. Water hemp can easily produce 400,000 seeds per plant. So that is just an absolutely crazy number. But with that kind of seed production, it becomes a serious, serious weed, especially when it becomes resistant to glyphosate. The number two weed on the increase would be Palmer amaranth, and it is also a pigweed species. And this weed has been known to produce as many as 500,000 seeds per plant. The third weed probably on the list or on the radar right now is giant ragweed. It's all over Indiana. We've got several pockets in Illinois and Iowa to where we know we've got giant ragweed resistance. And when I'm talking about resistance, Cindy, I'm really focusing on glyphosate resistance at this point.
Now, I know that one of the main things that we're focusing right now on as far as weed resistance is having several different modes of action. Tell us about that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the key thing that you'll hear most of us preaching is that we've got to rotate our herbicide modes of action, and basically that also includes not just different modes of action, but we've got to have overlapping modes of action. So basically that would mean that I can use product A that controls water hemp and product B that also controls water hemp. But that if we have overlapping modes of action, that would allow us then to have two modes of action going after that weed, which makes resistance much less possible to happen.
Now, GrowMark and your specialists, the FS specialists, you're working not just out of, because this is such a fluid situation, it seems to change every year. I understand that you work with the different universities and extension specialists there on the best things to do each year as this situation changes.
Yeah, absolutely. I do quite a bit of work in conjunction with University of Missouri, Iowa State University, University of Wisconsin, University of Illinois, Southern Illinois University, as well as Purdue. And what we try to do, we're all on the same page on this weed resistance issue, and that's we've got to rotate our herbicide modes of action. And the biggest thing we've noticed is that we need to really use a residual herbicide as a pre-plant herbicide prior to planting, and then have a planned approach prior to the season starting. So in other words, our recommendation would be, obviously, hopefully, you sit down in November, December with your crop specialist, and you developed a weed management system. And I call this weed management system more like a playbook. And that playbook is, okay, I know I've got water hemp or Palmer amaranth or giant ragweed on this percentage of my acres. Here is my planned approach. That's going to be putting down a pre-emergence herbicide, a soil applied herbicide, at April, sometime mid-March to early April. Then I'm going to come back with another program post-emergence with two different modes of action. So maybe it would be glyphosate plus something like Cobra or Flexstar, something like that. That would give me several different modes of action and two different application timings to try and beat this resistance.
Now, you disseminate this information to your hundreds of crop specialists out there in order to get the information out to the farmers, correct?
That's correct. That's exactly. Yeah, I do a lot of training over the, or GrowMark does a lot of training over the winter, and we update our crop specialist on the latest, newest information, whether it's new chemistry, whether it's new modes of action, whether it's new technologies. We update our crop specialists, and then they disseminate that throughout the rest of the winter and the early spring.
Now, do you get information as well from the Pursuit of Maximum Yields trials that are have been held for the last couple of years?
Absolutely, those are really an exciting research project for us that we get a lot of local growers to go in on to put out. We throw everything, almost the kitchen sink, at it. We throw all kinds of fertility rates. We throw all different types of herbicides at it, trying to figure out how can we reach the highest yield. And we're really not worried right now about how much it costs, because once we hit the highest yield we think we can hit, then we'll back off on some of these inputs and figure out, okay, can I take A out or can I take B out and still make that type of income.
And when you're talking about yields and getting high yields, weeds can really cut into those yields, can't they?
Oh, absolutely. There's a tremendous amount of research that's been done since the 50s that talk about how critical it is, especially in corn. You've got to have a clean field before corn reaches B4. Once it reaches that B4 stage of growth, weed competition really starts to affect the corn yield. Soybeans, generally, we're looking more like about a 6-week period, but after 6 weeks, if you let water hemp compete with soybeans for 6 straight weeks, so basically you plant your soybeans and water hemp emerges the same time your soybeans do, you're looking at anywhere from a 12 to 15% yield reduction.
So critical, especially to at least start clean and hopefully stay clean throughout the season.
That's the idea, yes. And another thing we're also promoting that we've learned through years of research with the universities is, especially the areas that have had problems in the past, we have to move past the foundation rates of the residual herbicides, and we really need to be focusing on full rates of the residual herbicide. Then we come back with our post program, and we would use full rates on the post program. Personally, I kind of think that's the reason we got into this mess in the first place, is glyphosate was such a great herbicide that we kind of reduced the rates on it. We could get by for a couple of years, but the problem is all that did was select for resistance. And so we're really pushing multiple modes of action and full rates of the herbicide.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Barry.
You bet. Take care.